Spirit Blade Underground, June 6, 2010.
Warning, access restricted, enter password, DNA verification, processing, verification complete, access granted, welcome.
Spirit Blade Underground, June 6, 2010.
Hello and welcome to the Monitor Room at the Spirit Blade Underground podcast. I'm Peter Franson, the creator of Spirit Blade Productions. We're bringing you Christian sci-fi and fantasy that's unsterilized, unsafe, and unleashed on your ears and imagination. You can check out what we're doing and grab lots of free, cool downloads at www.spiritblade.net. I threw free in there because the summer of free is in full swing here at the Spirit Blade Underground podcast, and I hope you guys are joining me with that and having some fun. We're just trying to be better stewards of the things that God has entrusted us with, specifically finances, and one way we can do that is just to be sure that we don't get ourselves in the red because we get too excited about all the nifty things that we can buy. And so that's what the summer of free is about, is to find free entertainment that we can get our kicks from online or elsewhere and save some of our money so we can be more responsible with it. All right, well, we've got a lot in that regard to cover on the show today, so we better get into updates here.
File access. Updates.
Well, the contest is over. The winner has been chosen, and the T-shirts are ready to go. You can now help spread the word and show everyone how Christians can actually be geeks, too. I've already had a few great interactions with people as they puzzle through the meaning of the SpiritBlade.net t-shirt. It comes in multiple sizes, fittings, colors. Prices start as low as $12.99, so you can visit the Spreadshirt store that we have set up to check them out. That's at spiritbladeproductions.spreadshirt.com. You'll also find it if you go to the website, to the purchase page on the spiritblade.net. But spiritbladeproductions.spreadshirt.com if you want to check out what those shirts look like. And if you get one, be sure to send me a picture of you wearing a Spirit Blade t-shirt. I would love to post Spirit Blade shirt kind of sightings and see how many places that we can find people wearing them. That would be totally cool. And I did not put this on the blog today, so if you're listening to the podcast, every once in a while, you know, you can get some stuff on the blogs that you don't hear on the podcast, and every once in a while I'll expand on some updates and things that I put on the blogs on the podcast, so they kind of, it's all part of one magical world that goes really well together. But anyway, what I did not post, because it happened later in the day, is I officially finished working on the song Fly, the remix of the song Fly, which means I only have one remix left of the songs from the original Spirit Blade, and that is The Reason, which I recorded. I re-recorded all my vocals for it today. I just decided, listening to kind of the vocals that I'd done before, that I liked them, but I think I could do better. and I won't get into the intricate details of what I changed and stuff like that, but rest assured, I'm not creating a departure from the original. My intent with all of these is to stay in the spirit of the original song, but just update it in terms of mixing quality and just kind of based on what I know now about mixing and just kind of make it a better version of what it was originally intended to be. So if you like The Reason and you're nervous because I'm re-recording the vocals for it, don't be. It's still very much the same spirit, just I think a little better. but details on that another time. Let's see, what else? I think that's it for updates. But we got a bunch of cool stuff that I cannot wait to share with you guys on the show today. And, of course, we're going to be back in the book of 2 Corinthians, so we better get to it.
Primary features.
The Summer of Free.
Activated.
Well, first off, I almost forgot to mention this, too. I should have mentioned this in the opening, but it fits nicely here. If you're looking for some free stuff to get your hands on this summer, you can be part of the Podcast Madness contest going on at www.podcastmadness.com. And I am participating in a network of podcasts that are part of that summer-long event. So if you're listening to this podcast, to get your code, the code is MADNESS. madness, the word madness. And you can enter that at podcastmadness.com and get more information there as well if you have no idea what I'm talking about. Let's see. All right. Well, first off, Winston Crutchfield, friend of the podcast and the kind of head honcho over at criticalpressmedia.com, alerted me that the D6 pen and paper, pencil and paper, I should say, maybe, RPG, the D6 system that hosted, like West End Games had it for, and they used it for Star Wars and stuff like that. Well, it's gone to it's eligible for distribution under the Open Gaming License. Okay, so my understanding of that is that, like, third parties, non-West End Games people, can, like, make games and use that for whatever. It's just kind of like a free-for-all. Now, I'm sure that I'm butchering the legal speak there. There's probably some ways that you can violate that. But anyway, you can get the core rules and just run your own D6 games without buying anything, without paying. You can just get the PDFs online. And Winston Crutchfield is hosting them over at criticalpressmedia.com. A ton of PDFs on different kind of ways, like campaign settings and stuff like that, or like kind of modes. Like, there's, you know, I think I saw, like, for fantasy and for sci-fi and for, I think, for horror or superheroes. I don't know, but there's just a bunch of supplements that are free. So if you've always wanted to get into a paper and pencil RPG, D6 is actually cool. I used to play Star Wars with some buddies of mine, and I really enjoyed it. And the fact that it's going has an open gaming license now is really cool. Kind of sparks my imagination for the potential in the future for who knows what, maybe some kind of a Spirit Blade paper and pencil RPG. I'd always loved the idea of that. But free RPG materials, awesome. Go to criticalpressmedia.com/publications/open-D6. Or just go to criticalpressmedia.com. You'll find it pretty quickly after just snooping around a little bit. Let's see here. Oh, yeah. And then Ben wrote to me and said, "Hey, Pater, thought I might add something to the Summer of Free." Why, thank you, Ben. And he adds in parentheses, "You should add an echo effect every time you say Summer of Free, 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 free." I haven't done that yet because I'm just running out of time and I'm too lazy for that. But I'll tell you what, if anybody else in there is into, like, playing around and mixing audio and stuff, send me your version of the little Summer of Free audio logo, whatever you call that, little widget dealy, you know, and if I use it on the show, every time I play it, I will thank you by name. Of course, you got to tell me what your name is if you send it to me. But anyway, yeah, if somebody wants to put something together, Summer of Free or whatever, you know, do that, and I will totally use it. Ben says it's a web-based audio drama called The Leviathan Chronicles that he's pointing us to. Season 1, which comprises of 25 episodes, has just been completed and are all available for free on the website www.leviathanchronicles.com or in the iTunes Store. This is a brilliant show which creates an atmosphere close to the epicness that is, but not quite as good as, Spirit Blade. Well, thank you very much, Ben. I appreciate that. Leviathan Chronicles is a sci-fi story based in current day, about a young woman who learns she is from a family of immortals who live in a city under the ocean called Leviathan. But there is a deadly signal being broadcast that is slowly killing all the immortals, and it is up to her to find and stop it before it kills herself and all immortals on the planet. There is some frequent harsh language and adult themes in the show, so I think it would be around a PG-13 plus rating. I don't know the state's rating systems that well, but if you love audio drama, I highly recommend. There's a trailer on the website, and that pretty much sets the tone for the show. No hidden costs in this. In the interim between seasons 1 and 2, there will be the option to pay for some extra material, but the show itself is free. I hope you all enjoy. Ben. Ben, thank you so much. Great that you pointed that show out. I've actually listened to, I think, at least 2 episodes, maybe just one. Production value is really great. The only reason I didn't stick with it was because of personal preferences. They use a lot of narration, as you know, and so it's kind of like a the experience for me was kind of halfway between an audiobook and a full-on audio drama. There's lots of narration there. But if that doesn't bother you, just know the production values are really great, and it's free. So www.leviathanchronicles.com. Great idea, Ben. And of course, I would be an idiot, and I would be letting down all the people that worked so hard at the Spirit Blade Underground Alliance if I didn't remind you guys that we've got some audio there that you can check out that's completely free, spiritblade.net/alliance. We just released a self-contained fantasy story that might lead to some more stories in that realm in the future. We're going to see. But it's a self-contained story called Untold Alliance. Really cool mix of sci-fi and fantasy. Completely free story, and two other audio bits of audio fiction there. Really great stuff you can check out as well. spiritblade.net/alliance. Let's see here. Okay, now on to kind of the meat of what I kind of dug up this week as far as free stuff. Free retro RPGs. Hopefully that sounds good to you. As part of the summer of free, I decided to try out four different games from RPG Games, number 4, free.com, and give at least 15 minutes to each one. I made some notes of my first impressions, and I'm presenting them here for anyone who is interested in some free RPGs with nostalgic graphics and also nostalgic sensibilities. So if you were, in other words, enjoyed console RPGs in the realm of Super Nintendo, maybe Nintendo, but more so Super Nintendo, then you might find these interesting. The first is Sunset Over Imdall. And oh, by the way, you can go to spiritblade.net/Pater, P-A-E-T-E-R, and look at my post for free retro RPGs, and I've actually put the download links in my post for each of these. And they're all being hosted over at www.rpggames4free.com, so I'd still recommend that you definitely check that out. But just for ease of use, I've got the links set up there. So Sunset Over Imdall is the first one. In this game, you live in a village that has been under siege for a long time until a spell wipes out everyone but you. A mysterious stranger gives you the power to travel back in time and manipulate events so that the destruction of your town can be avoided. The graphics in the game consist of very nice 16-bit hand-drawn backgrounds. Looks really nice. The dialogue is well-written, and the story is intriguing. There's a mystery to this plot that I'd be interested in searching out. However, I have played the game for close to 30 minutes now and not seen a single battle, so it may be that this game has no combat elements at all. This isn't to say that I found the game boring, but if the game has no fighting in it, this would have been good to know going in. But if you're, if you're used to games like The Seventh Guest, The 11th Hour, that are kind of like puzzle solving, how do I advance the plot and figure out the mystery, but there's not actually any combat, then this might be very appealing to you. Then again, I may be 5 minutes away from my first of many battles. I have no idea, but Sunset Over Imdall I found very interesting. Laxius Power, Random Story. Okie dokie. In my search for free RPGs, this game has popped up in several locations and is spoken of very highly, and I found it also at RPG Games for Free, but I can't imagine why. RPG Games for Free presents the game synopsis as follows. This is one of the most popular freeware RPGs available on the net. Laxius Power is already a legend. It has great graphics, a solid storyline, and plenty of well-developed characters, more than 50 hours of gameplay, and 500 different monsters to fight. That's the kind of synopsis or the summary or whatever that they give for a Laxius Power Random Story. The monsters and sprites do look great, and the interface for combat is very intuitive to anyone who's played turn-based RPGs. Laxius Power seems specifically modeled after Japanese RPGs, and even includes an extremely bad translation to complete the package. That, or it was written in English by someone whose primary strength is not writing. The dialogue is sloppy, it's full of out-of-character slang, bad grammar, and even made-up words. Like, I went to a food store, and there was an item there that was said to be very nutritive. Very nutritive for you. And I felt like saying, oh, thank you, George W. Bush. My hat goes off to anyone who successfully persists in giving this game 50 hours of their life. Wow. The next game I looked at, Ahriman's Prophecy. The description for this game reads, "The Daughters of Light send you on a dangerous quest to discover the secrets of the prophecy and hopefully stop it in time. Play as a young but soon-to-be powerful magic wielder in a complete adventure that beats many commercial role-playing games." I don't know, that's maybe overstating a little bit at the end there, but so far my initial impression has been very good. The writing is solid, especially after Alaxius, you know, whatever. the writing is solid. The game does a good job, I think, of helping you know where to go and what to do without holding your hand the whole way, you know. There's plenty to explore in the starting town alone. This game fits into, I would say, the action RPG realm, similar in some ways to The Secret of Mana or The Illusion of Gaia, if you've ever played either of those games on Super Nintendo, and it's got a stronger RPG feel than, say, like the Zelda games do. When you come near to enemies, for example, your attack button is enabled and you strike at them in real time, but it's not quite as precise as a Zelda game, which is really, you know, a little bit more of an action, you know, adventure game, you know. There's a little bit of a delay, so it's kind of like, you know, action RPG-ish kind of. You can also open a menu during combat for potions and to ready spells or special abilities. Enemies are very simplistic at the start, you know, giant bees and snakes is what you're fighting. Go ahead and take on the bees, be careful, but take them on, and definitely run away from those snakes. One hit, you are dead. But once you realize, okay, that I'm not supposed to necessarily fight all the bad guys, then you go, okay, it's that kind of game, you know, and you're starting out pretty weak, shouldn't engage every enemy you see, but you can easily, you know, maneuver around them. The game gets off to a great start. You can also save at virtually any time, so as long as you take advantage of that before taking on a new enemy, you got nothing to fear. I would definitely recommend trying this game out, especially given that it's free. And then the last game I looked at is Warrior Dragon. This game easily has the weakest graphics of those I've mentioned so far, but it has a charming premise. It's a spoof of the Dragon Warrior or Dragon Quest series, and this game looks almost identical to the original 8-bit classic Dragon Warrior for the NES. Basic menu navigation and battles are more similar than different, and the game features the same kind of challenging level grind that fans of that series have come to expect. The twist is that you play a dragon, chosen to fight a group of heroes who are about to wipe out all dragons to make the world safe for human domination. Now, I didn't get very far into the story, so I couldn't tell you much about how the writing is. I didn't see any bad, like, grammatical weirdness or anything like that. Be prepared for a level grind right from the start. Use your limited starting cash very wisely. You have to be very strategic from the very beginning in how you spend your money when the first purchases you make. Stay close to the town while working on that first level, and plan to stay at the inn a lot, and naturally save and save often, you know. It's very strategic from the get-go. It's a very unforgiving game, but if you're in the mood for that kind of, like, okay, immediately I'm going to start with my mind sharp and being strategic, then it's not, you know, it's far from impossible. It's just, you just got to engage yourself from the get-go. I was surprised at how addictive I found the level grind. It was a genuine strategic challenge to figure out when I should go back to town and when I should keep fighting a little longer. Most foes only surrendered one or two gold upon defeat, after having wiped out close to half of my health. And the inn restores me to full hit points, but costs 6 gold. So, you know, I had to figure out when it was worth it, you know, to go back and use 6 of my, you know, meager supply of gold coins to stay at the inn, you know. So at level 1, I found myself testing how low I could let my hit points go before staying at the inn. And when I hit level 2, well, man, suddenly I felt extremely cool as I was now able to take down enemies much faster and while taking much less damage. Now, okay, like I said, the graphics, they're, you know, they're about original Nintendo quality, maybe a little bit better. So, I mean, this is not anything that's going to blow you away, but if you're kind of bored and just looking to kill some time and you want to engage your mind, you know, I think this would be a great game for that. It's an ideal game. I'd love for them, especially since it's so simple, to figure out how to put it on a phone. This would be great to just be able to have on your phone and just pop open and pick up where you left off and do some level grinding and then, you know, get off the bus or whatever. But even if you're at home and need to take a break for a few minutes, this game may scratch your strategic itch and provide your level grinding quota for the day. Lastly, I also stumbled upon another site that has a ton of free indie RPGs. I'm not sure upon further examination if they're completed RPGs or not, but rpgdx.net. I haven't had a chance to look through many of the titles there yet, but there are quite a few, and they're all submitted by their creators, so legally it's legit as well. So if you're an RPG lover, why not jump over there or some other free RPG site online and participate in the summer of free? Give me your thoughts on maybe just spend 15 minutes on a game or two or however many you want. Give me your first impressions and join the party as we all save some money in the summer of free. Somebody really needs to send me something, because otherwise I know there are those of you out there that are going to find that really annoying every week.
Are you just watching?
Do you enjoy watching movies? The cool effects, the interesting characters, the explosions.
Yeah, you like the explosions, admit it.
Well, we do too.
But sometimes it pays to approach Hollywood media with a healthy dose of critical thinking.
Join me, Daniel Lewis.
And Eve Franklin.
As we discuss our favorite movies.
And share critical thinking for the entertained Christian.
So visit areyoujustwatching.com to subscribe.
And don't just watch.
Every word of God. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever.
Today we're searching for truth in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're covering a little bit more this week. We're going to cover verses 16 to 33, at least as best as I can. Let me read that for you from the New Living Translation of the Bible. It says, "Once again, don't think that I have lost my wits to talk like this. But even if you do, listen to me as you would to a foolish person, while I also boast a little. Such bragging is not something the Lord wants, but I am acting like a fool. And since others boast about their human achievements, I will too. After all, you, who think you are so wise, enjoy listening to fools. You put up with it when they make you their slaves, take everything you have, take advantage of you, put on airs, and slap you in the face. I'm ashamed to say that we were not strong enough to do that. But whatever they dare to boast about, I'm talking like a fool again, I can boast about it too. They say they are Hebrews, do they? So am I. And they say they are Israelites? So am I. And they are descendants of Abraham? So am I. They say they serve Christ. I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in jail more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jews gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled many weary miles. I have faced danger from flooded rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the stormy seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be Christians but are not. I have lived with weariness and pain and sleepless nights. Often I have been hungry and thirsty and have gone without food. Often I have shivered with cold, without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then, besides all this, I have the daily burden of how the churches are getting along. Who is weak without my feeling that weakness? Who is led astray and I do not burn with anger? If I must boast, I would rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows I tell the truth. When I was in Damascus, the governor, King Aretas, kept guards at the city gates to catch me. But I was lowered in a basket through a window in the city wall, and that's how I got away." All right, so Paul recognizes that it was considered foolish to boast about your own character and accomplishments. But he was finding it necessary in order to counteract the false claims being made against him by the false teachers in Corinth. Paul asked that he not be considered a fool for the way he was defending himself, but that if he was considered a fool anyway, he requested that they at least hear him out the way they would another fool. Look at verse 16. He also clarifies that he is doing this for the sake of arguing on the same field as his opponents, not because he truly takes pride in himself and his accomplishments. Look at verses 17 and 18. And verse 19, Paul is being sarcastic as he was in verse 4. He points out the irony in the Corinthians putting up with foolish, boasting, false teachers while calling Paul's character into question. This is a pattern that I think is natural to all of us. We tend to be critical toward those who teach the truth and welcome teaching that may be false but preferable. I think that as soon as somebody, it's interesting, you know, sometimes the, as I've learned from personal experience, the title pastor can actually make it more difficult to help people learn, you know, because people, there's lots of baggage associated with the word pastor. You know, maybe they've been burned or something like that, and so they're suspicious of pastors, or maybe, you know, they just have great expectations of what a pastor should be like, or very specific expectations of what a pastor should be like. There's sometimes walls set up, and you never know what that's about, you know, what's motivating that. Sometimes we are more critical of those who are teaching the truth just because, you know, we feel by nature that the truth does kind of expose us. Scripture exposes us for who we are, and our own character is kind of laid bare. It acts like a mirror showing all of our, you know, wrinkles and fat rolls and all that kind of stuff that we have that's fun, you know. But I think that's a natural pattern, that we tend to be critical toward those who teach the truth, and we welcome teaching that, you know, might not be as true or might, you know, be kind of bend the truth a little bit, but it's preferable. It's more comfortable in some way. Despite whatever preferences these false teachers were fulfilling for the Corinthians, Paul points out the truth of what their teaching was doing to the Corinthian Christians. They were being enslaved by rules and ideas not required or advocated by God. They were being used, and the implication here is financial, and taken advantage of. These teachers were making themselves look great while humiliating the Corinthians. And, you know, a slap in the face is mentioned. And I should point out that a slap in the face in this time and in this culture was very much like literally spitting in someone's face today. You know, if someone like, you know, really gets a good one and then, you know, plants that sucker right between your eyes, and just how nasty and humiliating and just terrible that would be in a public setting. I mean, in any setting, but especially in a public setting. That's culturally what a slap in the face was in this time. And sometimes people would do that when they were outraged or whatever. So apparently these false teachers could sometimes really get passionate about whatever they were teaching about and really kind of scolding and stuff, and would go so far to make their points and scold, you know, who the people they were teaching or trying to manipulate, that they would slap them in the face. Paul continues speaking ironically, just moving on here, when he says that he was too weak to do all those kinds of things to them in verse 21. Paul continues to argue on the playing field of his opponents, admitting how foolish this kind of boasting is, as he compares his track record to theirs. He starts by establishing equal credibility with them in his ethnicity and his heritage, and these were important issues to this culture. He then claims greater credibility as a servant of Christ, interrupting himself in recognition of how foolish he was sounding to boast like this. Paul's history of pain accumulated while serving Christ was far greater than those of the false teachers working against him. Look at verses 21 through 23 for where I got those. The 39 lashes and stoning were specifically Jewish penalties for crimes. As a Roman citizen, Paul should have been protected from punishment by rod, but officials sometimes chose to overlook these things, which must have been what happened in the case of him being beaten with rods. Among both his own people and non-Jewish cultures, Paul suffered more than most people will ever experience for doing something as simple as teaching the truth. Look at verses 24 and 25. Traveling by sea was extremely dangerous during this time period. Rescue at sea was much less common than today. And of course, you know, with the lack of communication technology, no lifeboats or life jackets, death was very likely in the event of a ship going down. But these were risks Paul was willing to take, and he even paid the price for more than once. Look at verse 25. In fact, he would actually become shipwrecked at least one more time after writing this letter. We're going to see that when we eventually get back into Acts. We're kind of, for those of you that haven't been with the podcast for a very long time, what we're doing is going through the book of Acts and then chronologically inserting the letters of the apostles where they would fit into the to kind of the historical account presented in Acts. So we technically are still kind of in the middle of Acts, and we're going to get back to it. And when eventually we do, we'll run into Acts 27, 39 through 44 and see that Paul just cannot catch a break. For whatever reason, God allowed him to be shipwrecked again and again and one more time, at least after this letter. Traveling in general was just very dangerous, as bandits frequently ambushed travelers. Yet Paul was traveling a great deal for his ministry and encountered dangers from nearly every type of environment and person that he potentially could. Look at verse 26. Paul's body had been physically pushed to its limit in terms of exertion, sleep deprivation, hunger, thirst, and a lack of sufficient clothing in cold weather. That's what's meant by naked, as some translations of the Bible put it, in verse 27. So he was in a bad way a lot of the time. Emotionally, in the midst of his physical pain, Paul was investing energy in the people he taught. When they were weak, he felt it right along with them. When they sinned, he felt both the shame and frustration surrounding it. Look at verse 28. In contrast to the pattern of this honor status obsessed culture that Paul was in, which, you know, sound familiar, by the way, Paul preferred to boast in the events that have showcased his weakness. Look at verse 30. Paul again refers to God's absolute knowledge of the situation, since the Corinthians may have still not believed him. He does that in verse 31. And when Paul was in trouble with the ruling government, and that's something that would have shamed him in this culture, God provided a way out for him. Look at verses 32 and 33. All of this suffering, hardship, and humiliation contrasted Paul with the false teachers in a way that validated his sincerity. Paul had nothing to gain in terms of financial wealth, comfort, or popularity by suffering the way that he did. This man, who had once helped to hunt down and capture Christians, suddenly changed course radically because of a supernatural encounter with Jesus. And you see that in Acts chapter 9. We've already looked at that. And then he spent the rest of his life, suddenly, just boom, this miraculous event happened, and he suddenly spent the rest of his life suffering to serve Christ. Now, the implied question that he was asking the Corinthians to consider, the same question we should all consider today, is this. Why would Paul live the kind of life he was living if he knew that he was doing it all for a lie? Next week, we're going to see if great blessing also brings great humility when we look at the life of Paul. The coffeehouse question this week, in what way do you think our image-obsessed culture makes it difficult to be a Christian? You can get in touch with me by calling 206-350-1226 and leave a message in response to that question or anything else that's on your mind. I'd be happy to hear from you and take a shot at responding to whatever thoughts you might have. And you can also email me, paeter@spiritblade.net. I would love to hear from you. Well, the coffeehouse question last week is: Do you feel comfortable with the idea of pastors being paid for their work? Why or why not? And I got some great feedback on this one. First from Drew, who wrote, "As the son of a former Methodist minister, my comments might be slightly biased, but I wholeheartedly agree with pastors being paid. Generally, pastors devote their entire lives to the service of the Lord. This in no way removes them from the responsibility of raising a family in a modern secular world. Food, shelter, education, medical treatment, even entertainment. These are all things that a pastor still has to provide for his family. And just because a pastor is in the service of God, that in no way absolves him from the stewardship of a tithe. Hard to tithe when you aren't being paid. Should a pastor be paid obscene amounts of money because his church is filled to overflowing each week? No. But a reasonable amount of compensation that is above the cost of living for what area they serve is right. A compensation for living expenses, paying bills, and some to help in savings should not be outside the realm of normality." Let's see. I also heard from, Chuck. And Chuck wrote, "Hey, Pater, my father was a Baptist minister from 1972 until his death in 1996. During that time, he completely devoted himself to God's service. He willingly took the weight of the world and the churches he served on his shoulders. The man was devoted to God. He was available to talk and witness 24/7 and tried his best to be a man of God as opposed to a church player. I watched that man put everything he had into this task. Growing up, there was nothing that could set me off faster than a friend or an acquaintance asking, 'Is that all he does?' I think preaching is a lot like being a school teacher. Some people are in it for the wrong reasons. But I also feel that a congregation is duty-bound to support the preacher to the best of its abilities. This includes churches that cannot afford a full-time minister. I think it's probably impossible to pay a man of God what he is actually worth." And I responded to both of them saying, "Thanks, Drew and Chuck. I appreciate your thoughts and certainly agree with you both." Yeah. Great. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. All right. I think that's it. But before we leave, I'm going to hand things over to Kim W. because she contacted me with this really cool idea, and I was like, oh, that is awesome. I was just geeking out because it just played to my personal interests. And I forgot to put it on the show last week, so I'm going to let Kim sign us off this week, and I'm probably going to pee my pants with excitement as we all listen. Kim, take it away!
Hi, Peter. This is Kim. For reasons incomprehensible to normal people, I translated the Green Lantern Oath into Sindarin Elvish. But since I don't think that any of us that listen to your podcast would call ourselves normal, and especially since I know that you yourself are a major Green Lantern fan, I thought you might enjoy hearing it. So here goes. Nel hourglass nel suo indoor in gosto dragaton chenning gosto guirin delagor palanning dalad kelgalin. This has been your crossover geek out of the day. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bado and Danas, speak the truth.
Visit www.spiritblade.net. Peter is a crazy freak. Green Lantern is awesome. Visit www.spiritblade.net.